This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
This is Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family Matters.
Welcome to Family Matters. I'm David and I'm joined here by Beck. And Beck, you know, you look around the room and you normally see some familiar faces.
You do.
Michelle, Adrian, Gina.
Yeah.
Well, tonight we've dragged in one of our best. Family Matters' own.
Joe Hurst.
Yes, I know. Joe, welcome.
Oh, thank you.
You know,
lovely.
You know what I think's happened? So Gina's crook. She's got the flu. I reckon she's thought, I cannot leave Dave and Beck in there by themselves because God knows what they will get up to. So I have to send in a responsible parent to keep an eye on them. That's what I think happened.
Oh, it's a problem if I'm the responsible adult
yeah,
today.
That's a good point, actually.
So, Joe, how's it all going?
It's been crazy busy this month, Dave.
It has been. And the news today, which we'll touch on in a sec, is Beck's our legal eagle. But in some news... On your show on Stand Up Australia, what happened?
Well, we just had a live proposal.
Oh, my goodness.
So Tim and Pete have been together for 18 years, and they just proposed to each other live on air. It was adorable.
Oh.
So, you know, if someone wants to propose to Dave live on this show, you can SMS him on 0427JOY949 or call in on 1300JOY949.
This is more important than Radiothon, this is.
It is.
Much.
Message in to propose to Dave.
Perfect.
All He's that, not that fussy.
All Find that and more. Dave a husband.
Thanks, Joe. All that and more. It's Beck, Dave, and our special co-presenter tonight, Joe Hurst. We'll be back in a moment. Family Matters on Joy 94.9. It is David, Beck, and our special co-host tonight, Joe Hurst.
We do have our special co-host, Joe. So she is, as we said at the start of the show, she is a part of our family here on Joe. On Joe.
On Joe.
On Joy.
Just change the name then.
Yeah, Joe 94.9. Your voice, your radio station.
That's what it's called now. Joe.
Joe 94.9.
Yeah. But Joe Hurst, as I call her, Joy Hurst, is the author of The Gender Fairy, a children's book about transgender children. Joe studied primary teaching. Oh, I didn't know that. You can tell us off. And specialised in children's literature.
That's why I'm here.
That's right. Joe has two boys and one transitioned to become his true self at six. Joe now advocates for young trans and gender diverse kids. Joe, that was my formal welcome to you, but welcome.
Thank you very much.
I think last time we came on, we were talking about The Gender Fairy, which mm-hmm. is your book, yep. which is amazing.
Thank you.
And still going gangbusters.
It is.
It doesn't stop.
It doesn't stop. Yeah.
Do you think that because of what's happening at the moment, and we'll touch on the High Court outcome today, but do you think we're probably moving into a time when things like your book are more important, that people will be looking for resources and things to go to?
Absolutely. It's a more important time. It's actually a very, dare I say, dangerous time for transgender children at the moment. And this was starting before the postal survey as well. I think at the beginning of August, there were a lot of extremist groups ramping up their fight against transgender children in schools and any program like Safe Schools that support them. And this is resulting in a lot more bullying in schools around Australia. So books like The Gender Fairy and anything that supports children in schools, they're a lot more important.
Now, with the times now, that's obviously what we're going through this year with the postal survey. Now, there's plenty of advocates out there that are defending our rights, but is there a responsibility on the wider community in general to, you know, call people out to get rid of that language that's in the media at the moment?
Absolutely it is. I think the media have an extremely important responsibility to use the right language, to use the right guidelines, to speak respectfully about transgender people, but even more importantly, to report accurately on transgender people, including children. There's so much misinformation out there about our families and our children that I think it increases the lack of support at schools. It increases the bullying. It increases those conversations in the family home where mum and dad might be talking in perhaps not a very nice way about transgender children, and that carries through to the schoolyard. So, yeah, it falls on the media largely.
Because that's what strikes me is a lot of the things I see on the internet about, you know, anti-safe schools or anti-trans kids or whatever it might be, so much of it, even from the little bit that I know, is misinformed.
Oh,
it's just
crazy.
I mean, it's even like that No ad that was on TV the other week. Like, just because two people of the same gender can get married doesn't mean that all boys have to wear dresses.
Mm.
But that's the link. And that's what I think is so dangerous because people who are not educated and don't know and are vulnerable in their thinking really pick up on that stuff.
They do. It's creating fake news that becomes real. It's like if you repeat it often enough, people believe it.
Mm.
It really is, I think, because they know they can't win the equal marriage argument. People are largely in favour of that. They're trying to bring up other things that people don't understand fully, and that's when it lands on our children.
Mm. Now, Joe, you've brought in two of the experts that we'll interview later on via phone. We're talking to Penelope and Heidi. Can you tell us?
Yes, so they're two people who will be presenting at the ANSPATH conference this year. So the ANSPATH conference is a conference that happens every 2 years. It's all the Australian and New Zealand people who work in transgender health around Australia and New Zealand. They have a really big conference, and experts like Heidi and Penelope and all sorts of doctors like Michelle Telfer from the Royal Children's Hospital, many, many, many people present at these conferences. So if you work in transgender health in any way, shape or form, especially if you're a doctor or a psychologist, someone like that, you might like to come along to the conference and learn a lot more. So we'll be talking to Heidi Janssen from the Australian Psychological Society. And Heidi was one of the people who put together the Australian Psychological Society's new guidelines for best practice for working with transgender people, including children. These are really affirming guidelines and really, really important. They came out last year. And Penelope Strauss has released some new research with Trans Pathways just last week. You might have seen it on The Drum and in the media and social media, with some very alarming figures about the mental health of transgender children in particular. Really important research. So they're two of the people who'll be presenting at the conference.
So we're talking to Penelope and Heidi for later on in the show. So get your questions in on 0427 JOY949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. While Beck is just checking the footy scores, we'll quickly take a break and we'll be back soon. We'll be talking to Penelope in a moment. You're listening to Family Matters on JOY94.9.
There's more from the Family Matters team in just a moment on JOY94.9.
Family Matters Joy 94.9. You are with Beck Dave and our special co-presenter, Joe Hurst, who is the author of my favourite book, The Gender Fairy.
And also our supervisor for this evening.
Yeah, Jenna is away. She is still sick, so she didn't really trust us that well, so she's got Joe in.
Don't blame her. Now, Joe, our first guest tonight is Penelope Strauss. Tell us all about Penelope.
Penelope has worked with Trans Pathways, and I think she's the best person to probably tell you all about herself. But the research, the groundbreaking research that's been released, I think last week, you may have seen on The Drum and in The Age and all around social media, and it's had an amazing positive response from the media, I might add as well, which has been really exciting, because normally when we see things about transgender children released, we don't always see a positive impact. So welcome, Penelope. Hello.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me on tonight.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit about the research and how you came about starting it off, and what gave you the idea and who funded you?
Yeah, so Trans Pathways was actually unfunded. I'll start with that. We did receive a little funding to print the report and have all the amazing sort of colours around it and graphics in it. The graphics that are in the report themselves are all done by a trans young person in Perth who submitted the artwork, And the research, it really came about because we noticed there was a lack of information specifically around trans young people's experiences of accessing mental health and medical services. And not that much was known about the mental health of trans young people. There was some information out there, but we really didn't have a large study to sort of base our arguments for more services on. And so that's really why we started this project. And what Trans Pathways found was that the mental health difficulties that trans young people are facing are quite high and quite a lot higher than the cisgender population in Australia. And these are quite alarming statistics, as you said. So, yeah, a lot more really needs to be done.
So what have been some of the key findings from this research?
So as you may have seen in the media, the statistic that everyone seems to be throwing around is that almost one in two trans young people have ever attempted suicide. So that's about 20 times higher than what we see in adolescents in the general Australian population, and 14.6 times higher than what we see in adults in the general Australian population. We also found quite high rates of depression, anxiety, and other mental health issues. I guess the alarming thing was the negative experiences that trans young people were exposed to, such as peer rejection, bullying, issues with school, university and TAFE, really quite high. And also almost 66% had experienced a lack of family support. So you imagine a young person growing up in Australia and feeling unsupported in their home, feeling unsupported in their school, feeling unsupported, you know, in work environments and other day-to-day activities that they're involved in. Obviously, that's going to have an impact on their mental health.
Penelope, did it come out in the research why it is that young that trans people have much poorer mental health outcomes than non-trans people?
Well, the research, because it is a survey, you know, that is a limitation there that we can't really say these things cause the mental health issues. But when you look at all these negative experiences and the culmination of them all, we did some statistics where we looked at of the people who had actually attempted suicide, they were more likely to experience these negative events. So we can say there is a relationship there. But also when these young people did reach out to support from mental health or medical services, they were met with service providers who really didn't understand them, were often disrespectful, could be transphobic, or just really ignorant of what gender diversity even means from that fundamental level. So it really is quite a difficult situation in Australia at the moment for trans young people.
Yeah, I can't say I find that really surprising.
I
think that really reflects what we see in the parent support groups and with the young people that we work with, especially finding the lack of support and the misgendering and lack of understanding from service providers. It's prolific. So it's really helpful to see that reflected in research. I think I didn't find any of it surprising, which is really sad. The thing that did surprise me was the 66% of them felt unsupported by their families. That surprised me, and I found that incredibly sad.
Yeah, it is incredibly sad, especially because we also did a part of the survey was with parents and guardians, and so obviously the parents and guardians who filled in the survey were more likely to be supportive of their trans child because they're, you know, filling in the survey from the first place. But
I was one of those.
Yeah. So it was really nice to hear the parents' responses of saying how proud they were of their kids and how much admiration they had for the struggles and the strength that their child was displaying. And these are messages that, you know, we'd hope that every parent out there would be feeling for their child. And so it is quite distressing to hear that a lot of parents did not support their child, or that at least that the child felt like they were not supported by their parent.
Penelope, obviously it came out that there were issues with the service providers. What did you understand about why the service providers were not that great? For want of a better phrase, is it they hadn't had experience with trans people, or they just were not au fait with it? What do you think was the reason behind that?
There's a few reasons, and a lot of it comes down to education, that a lot of service providers had not been exposed to any sort of trans health or gender diverse education within their training curriculums. But also some service providers were directly sort of dismissive of the trans young person, saying, oh, this is just a phase, Like, and they told parents this as well, of your child's just going through a phase, just go home and, you know, get on with it, which is really...
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah, it's really not the right message to be putting out there. And so I think what we really need is more education for service providers. So like GPs, psychologists, psychiatrists, endocrinologists, anybody who's going to be exposed and treat and support a trans client, you know, really needs to be receiving education on gender diversity. But also there are some trans-friendly service providers out there, and young people did say that and parents did say that, but these providers, there's often really long waiting lists. And so that makes it quite difficult for a young person, and also young people, because they often were seeing multiple different service providers that have to tell their story over and over again. Young people felt like they had to prove that they were trans enough to receive hormones or other things that they might be interested in. And, that's really difficult for a young person to go, well, for anyone, but especially a young person to be faced with.
Absolutely true. And I think the education of service providers is key, and that's why conferences like ANSPATH are so important, because they do help provide this education, but we need more. We need it, you know, right at the beginning of university courses for these people. But I couldn't agree more.
So, Penelope, so obviously there's changes that need to be made with the education of service providers. Is there any developments in that space?
So that's something we're going to be looking at further. So at the end of our report, we had a list of recommendations both for government and for services. And so what we're going to be doing with this report is holding some roundtables with these different sectors to see how these recommendations could be put into place, and to try to have these areas, people working in these areas, actually have action and make change happen. So hopefully that goes through. But there are some support services out there. There are some free webinars that service providers can do. There are training programs, but often it comes down to the individual service provider being interested or feeling like they need to seek out these additional sort of professional development tools. And that's really not enough, because you really need to be accessing and talking to all service providers across the board. So hopefully through our roundtables we'll figure out sort of the best way to go about upskilling service providers out there.
Because I guess at the moment you're relying on the service providers to buy in, when what you really need is for, you know, it to go to them and say, this is what you need to be doing.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Yeah.
With the roundtable, are there organisations out there that the governments and the legislators are actually consulting?
You mean right now?
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly across the board what people are doing, but we have had a great response to the report, and there have been different people working in government and organisations reaching out to us saying that they're keen to hear more about the results and keen to meet with us. And we held a briefing here in WA the day before the report was released, and also we've had a lot of support. Like, the WA Equal Opportunity Commissioner released a statement in support of the research, and so did the Commissioner for Children and Young People in WA. So it is quite encouraging that there are people out there who are engaged in this research and also hoping to make change.
Well, we've been talking to Penelope Strauss, who was part of the amazing research Trans Pathways that's just been released, which was the largest ever survey conducted of the mental health and care pathways of trans and gender diverse young people in Australia. So, look, Penelope, thank you for all the amazing work you've done. It's clear that, you know, it's really going to make a difference in the lives of some of these people. And you're obviously going to be at the ANSPATH conference that Joe's been mentioning to us.
And I'm looking forward to meeting Penelope in person there.
Wonderful. Penelope, thank you so much for joining us on Family Matters.
Thanks so much for having me.
Wow, it's so interesting, isn't it?
It's fantastic to have people out there and putting research together that hopefully will make significant change.
Fantastic research. And
just quickly, if that interview did upset anybody, there is Lifeline Australia 131114 to phone, and also Beyond Blue is a great service as well. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. Really loving that song from Pink. I really am. What about us? Really loving. Yes.
She's still a thing.
Oh, that's a bit harsh. You are listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9 with myself, David Beck, and our special co-presenter, Joe Hurst. Now, if you do have any text messages, any questions for Joe, text in on 0427 JOY 949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. If you want to go backtrack to when we've had Joe on before, you can always go to iTunes and search for Joy Family Matters, or you can get it on the Joy website, joy.org.au.
There's hours of fun for everyone there.
There is. What's your favourite interview?
My favourite...
Apart from Peter Coombs, the Australian icon.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Peter Coombs. I mean, that was literally the greatest day of my life.
That was my second most best interview. My best one was Jo Hurst.
Oh, you're such a suck.
When she came on to talk about the gender fairy.
You know what? Jo knows that I love her, and I don't need to show that love in an obnoxious fashion like
I love Jo.
I'll stop.
Let's just have a moment just to talk about how good Jo is.
I'll stop it.
Okay, you first, Jo. you first, Beck.
Well, I did change the name of this station to Jo 94.9 a bit earlier. So
that's great.
Now, Jo, you're talking about lots of things with us today, but one of the big ones is the conference that's coming up, the ANZPATH conference. Let me get this right, Australian New Zealand Transgender Health Conference.
Yep. So that is on the 30th of September and the 1st of October in Sydney. Only happens once every 2 years, so it's quite a big deal. And they've added on, it's an extra day on the Friday that I think is almost sold out as a training day as well. Actually, you'll find parents of gender diverse children presenting on that day as well.
Oh, Megan and Karen.
That was
Megan
another
Karen.
Good show, actually. Megan, we do like them too.
Yeah, that was a good show too.
What sort of people go to this conference? Is it for medical professionals or general humans?
Parents like myself will go along, but usually it's doctors and psychologists and speech pathologists and endocrinologists and anybody working in transgender health. Actually, this is the first conference that has ever featured transgender children, so it's really exciting. They've never really brought up this topic at ANZPATH before, and there's a real focus on transgender children this year. Associate Professor Michelle Telfer will be presenting new guidelines for the treatment of transgender children from ANZPATH, which is a huge thing because I'm actually on the research committee for the Royal Children's Hospital Gender Service. So I've seen the first draft of these guidelines. They are incredibly affirming while still keeping the safety net of all the medical procedures, medical safety nets that children need to have. So it's getting that, I guess, careful combination of being affirming while making sure all the checks and balances are in place. And I think they're fantastic guidelines.
Well, and I think it's really important because I know from my work as a family lawyer, obviously we are involved in the legal side when people need the legal, permission from the court for stage two treatment, which is probably another whole show in itself. Yeah. But
another story.
Yeah, that's right. But the point is that I've seen even the numbers that have come through our office have increased, and I know that the numbers who have gone through the gender clinic at the Royal Children's has increased. So I think it's really important that this is clearly an issue that needs to be addressed, and kids are going to have issues that are different to trans adults, obviously.
Completely different. I think for trans adults, they can pretty much go to the doctor, be self-affirmed and get their medical needs addressed. But with children, it's a lot more complicated. And they really do need a multidisciplinary approach. And I think these guidelines will really address that, which is really exciting. And the other thing is that two of the keynote speakers for the conference actually focus on children as well. So we've got Diane Earnsaft, who's one of the leading psychologists in the world, talking about gender-diverse children, and I'm very, very excited. She's written two amazing books, and Gender Born, Gender Made is probably one of the first books that you'll read as a parent of a transgender child. So I can't tell you how excited I am.
Joey's fangirling.
I'm fangirling. I'm seriously fangirling here.
It is exciting to have somebody so smart presenting to people that need the information as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's talk about going to the top. And the other community keynote presenter is Kelly Winters, who will be talking about the war on trans youth, persistence under adversity. So that's going to be a really interesting talk where I think she'll talk about this debunked desistance myth that 80% of trans children do not persist being trans. It's a very old statistic that's been debunked, and Kelly will be, I guess, talking about how research is really out of date. So that's going to be really interesting as well.
It's going to disappoint people who just like clickbait on the internet though, isn't it?
Wow, yeah. I'm sure they'll find plenty to clickbait on. And I'm really excited because I get to present too.
Oh! That's
really exciting.
Yeah. So what are you presenting about,
Family support and the I'm presenting with Heidi, who we're going to speak to in a minute. Heidi is going to be talking about the Australian Psychological Society guidelines. I'm talking about the importance of family support, because if you're a transgender child, you really can't live as your authentic self unless you have parent support. As we heard from Penelope, 66% of children don't feel supported by their families.
That was a really huge statistic, because I think, you know, like many things, we live in a bubble here, but I've only ever been exposed to families who are really supportive of their trans child, both here at Joy and through work. And so that was really surprising to me.
I have to admit, you know, obviously I'm with supportive families or families who are on their way to being supportive or at least one supportive parent, you know, most of the time. But one of the things I'm doing for my presentation is putting together a mini documentary of transgender children who are speaking for themselves, so that children can actually have a voice for the first time at ANSPATH. So we have a mum in our group who is actually a professional documentary maker, and we are interviewing 8 children from the ages of 5 to 16, talking about what it means to them to be transgender, what they want from their health professionals, and what their lives have been like. And it's going to be really amazing to hear their voices. And one of those children is a brother boy who's been in foster care for a lot of his life. So I think, you know, we'll be hearing about what it's like not to have family support for most of your life, and how difficult that makes things like accessing medical care, transitioning at school, document change and things like that, let alone everything else.
Wow.
And it's important to have that voice at the ANSPATH as well, because I guess the whole conference is about making lives for children better going forward. So
it's just so exciting to have so much focus on children. There's lots in the conference for adults as well. Please don't mistake me. There's so much for adults. We've an amazing endocrinologist who's very, very well known in Europe is coming to talk. There's so much there. Have a look at the conference download. Go and have a look at the program. There's so much there. So much to learn, so many exciting people to hear from. I'm really excited about
and
it.
And if we can get tickets back still, can we? Is there a website we can get?
ANSPATH.org.
Oh, there you go. Log in, buy some tickets, and then get to listen to Joe Hurst.
That's right. Hope she's not saving the good stuff for them. You know.
We'll be back in a moment. We have one more interview to come, and it's Heidi. Well, we're going to figure out the surname, the pronunciation soon.
Let's just call her Heidi, like Madonna.
You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Family Matters with any combination of Gina, Adrian, Michelle, David and Beck. Joy 94.9.
Plus Joe.
Plus Joe, yes.
Plus Joe, yeah.
You're listening to Joe 94.9. Joe has taken over our airwaves. I'm very appreciative of it.
We are. So we do have the lovely Joe Hurst here tonight, who, amongst other things, has been introducing us to some of the wonderful presenters who are going to be at the upcoming ANSPATH conference. Joe, who have we got next?
We have Heidi Jansen from the Australian Psychological Society, a wonderful psychologist who helped put together the guidelines that came out last year for best practice from the Australian Psychological Society for transgender people, including children. Hello, Heidi.
Hello, how are you going?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on. I feel like a real host now.
You are, Joe. We'll just, Dave and I will shut up now.
Oh, no, please.
So we have touched on the guidelines, Heidi. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. So like Joe said, they came out in 2016, and basically the idea behind those is that we really want to give some context to recommending best practice moving forward to affirm transgender people's experience. And so, you know, we acknowledge that psychologists play a pretty vital role in society in terms of challenging negative attitudes and in the general population as well as within psychology as a profession. And so the exciting thing about the recommendations is that it really kind of looks to say, you know, there's no current robust experience that says that, you know, if we talk about transgender people or young people, that, you know, expecting them to behave in a gender normative way will be the best way forward. And so the guidelines or the information sheets basically talk about how we want to, as a profession, commit to evidence-based practice and oppose anything that's not affirming of transgender people.
And what led to these guidelines being developed, Heidi? Was it was it an observation of experience, or was it something that came from the professionals themselves?
Look, I think that it was a bit of both, and certainly, you know, we've kind of, as an interest group, had a bit of a history to trying to advocate for developing awareness and, I guess, competence in those areas. So, you know, we started with some gender and sexuality diverse information sheets in 2013, and then we moved on to this as a gap in the area, as we kind of know that there is that need to give clinicians some information about how to, you know, to work in that fashion that will help young people and adults.
I think you can see how important it is when you look at what's come out of the research that Penelope was talking about before, the trans pathway research, that when trans and trans young people go to a service provider or a psychologist, I should say, and the parent or the trans person have been told it's just a phase, or they haven't been affirmed, you can see how important these guidelines are, because there are many parents who've been told, your child's just going through a phase, don't worry about it. And as that child's persisted, as of course they do, sometimes it's had very serious consequences, and that child may have gone through the wrong puberty, and that can never be changed. And I've seen parents be so angry that they weren't steered in the right direction in the first place, that they weren't connected to the right medical resources or the right help.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's certainly a big issue, you know, that I see as well. So I think that that's what's exciting about the information sheet, is it actually kind of gives some helpful tips to therapists to kind of say, okay, well, you know, what we know in the evidence is that there's this major issue. And so what we want to try and do is really work to affirm that person's gender and challenge those negative perceptions, particularly, you know, amongst family, where, you know, often, and in my clinical experience, you'll have families coming to say, oh, it's just a phase, you know, how can you help them get through that? And you know, that's not actually very helpful, as you just said. So we want to talk also about, you know, helping people figure out the pathways to, you know, to specialists, to blockers, to other hormone therapies when they reach appropriate age and things like that. And then, you know, particularly the big thing is advocating the support needs of those young people and their families to help them kind of get into where they need to be.
Heidi, one of the things that we heard earlier that came out of the Trans Pathways survey was about, I guess, some negative experiences that trans people had had with service providers. Is your experience that psychologists generally want to get better at this?
I think they do, if it becomes on their radar. So, you know, often I'll hear people say, you know, I went to X service provider and they just had no idea. So, you know, they couldn't really help me because they were feeling like the client was then educating the clinician. And so I think in general there's a sense that people want to get better, but it's probably more as it kind of comes through their, you know, through their kind of periphery and then kind of front and centre. So, yeah.
Yeah, I have to say that's been my experience, because I have actually a lot of psychologists approaching me and saying, look, I have a gender diverse or a trans child as a client. I don't know what to do. I'm like, don't ask me, I'm a parent. You know, you're the psychologist. And this is where the conference is really important. It's like, come along to the conference. This is where you learn. And
absolutely.
You know, how do you get those guidelines out to other psychologists, and what's the best way to educate them?
Yeah, so the guidelines are on the Australian Psychological Society website, so people can go and have a look at that. And I guess it's through forums like the conference, you know, and that's why it's pretty exciting to be able to present there to, you know, showcase the work that has been done and really highlight the research that says, you know, we really need to be providing a better service for young people, because there is that kind of niche group of clinicians or health professionals that have that experience and are working effectively within that. But I guess it's also about how do we upskill those people that might have someone come through the door that they might not have had that experience before, so that they can become better at providing that appropriate service. And so that's for me, I think it'd be getting up to speed on the current literature, you know, going to supervision, going to training, those types of things.
Do you think going forward that this could be a part of university degrees, apart from psychology? Would that focus be involved, or should it, or is there any developments at the moment?
There is a few research pieces that have been done that I'm aware of, which really basically says this is a big gap in the curriculum, and you know, some of the pre-post studies reveal that, you know, people after they've done, you know, a workshop or something like that, feel more confident and comfortable to be able to provide that service to clients that might need a trans-affirmative service. But I don't think at this point in time it is kind of officially in any curriculum that I'm aware of. So, yeah, I think it's definitely something that we need to be agitating for more change in that space.
Absolutely. I think it's really positive, though, that there are things like this conference and there are guidelines and there are changes. I think it probably shows a willingness on the part of the profession to improve the service that they can provide for trans people.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, you know, there are certainly, you know, some really exciting things that are happening, you know, if we see the info sheets that are happening, but also just the advocacy and kind of public commentary that's happening at the moment, you know, in terms of the marriage equality debate and things like that. So, yeah, definitely moving forward, some good things happening.
Just on the postal survey, is there an increase of patients in that space for transgender and LGBTI people in general seeking more help this year?
I would say yes. I guess that's kind of why the APS has actually developed up some info sheet resources in that space as well for public people, to, you know, just general kind of people that might be wanting to communicate about marriage equality, talking to children about marriage equality. And then there's also a resource that's been developed for psychologists specifically to help, because I guess even in the, you know, sessions that I'm having with people at the moment that identify as LGBTI, you know, they are talking about how it impacts their family relationships, you know, how things at work, you know, are a bit more difficult, or, you know, random people think that they can have a comment on your life and who you love. So definitely.
That resource, talking to children about the postal plebiscite and marriage equality, was absolutely fantastic. And just seeing how much work that the Australian Psychological Society is doing in this space is really positive. Is it fair to say that most psychologists in Australia are registered with the Australian Psychological Society?
Oh, that's a good question. I believe we have. I'm not quite sure of the answer, but I would hope so.
Yeah.
And if not, then they should be. I think that we're over 22,000 members. So there's probably some that aren't, but it's certainly a good professional body to be pushing forward in terms of evidence-based practice and being kind of on the pulse with some of these key issues.
Well, we've been talking to Heidi Jansen, psychologist. Heidi, thank you so much for joining us on Family Matters tonight. It's been really fascinating and given us a lot of education. So thank you very much.
My pleasure.
So, Jo, I'm excited about this conference now. I mean, it sounds like it's such a good resource for people, professionals in the space, and for families to really get along and get that extra information that they're wanting.
Absolutely. And there'll be many people in the transgender community coming along too, of course, as well as adults and parents of young children. It's not suitable for young children. It's really only suitable for over 18s. But, yeah, mostly for professionals. I think it's absolutely fantastic.
We'll talk more with Family Matters on Joy 94.9. Now, we have had the pleasure of having Jo Hirst come on as a co-presenter, and we've loved your work tonight. You've been so good, Jo.
Oh, I've really enjoyed it.
I know.
You can tell Gina I've kept you in check.
Jay Hirst, 3 votes. We actually have had a question. Well, it starts with a compliment. Mama Jo, you're a natural. Loving these interviews. I'm sure that person also meant Beck and Dave, you're naturals too.
No, if you read the PS at the end, Dave and Beck, you better find new jobs.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I didn't get to that. As feared, our trans and gender diverse kids have become such a target in this traumatic, cruel public no campaign. How do we protect them over the next few months, and how do we protect their carers too? Just a simple question, Joe, to end.
That's a really complex question, but I guess protect your children by keeping them off social media, don't let them watch ads, have a really good conversation with them, perhaps read the APS resource that we just talked about. Protecting carers, if you're the parent of a transgender child, go and have a look at www.pgdc.org.au. Join a support group, because we're all caring for each other right now. It's really tough.
Mm. Just a big, nice, warm hug as well.
Yeah, that's right.
And a cup of cocoa.
Oh, okay.
Coming up next is The Woods. They tried to explain to me what they're talking about, but I wasn't quite sure. Chasers. They're talking about chasers. Who knows?
Sounds like something I'd do.
Not sure.
I'm sure it'll be interesting, whatever it is.
And you can follow us on our social medias. Facebook is Joy Family Matters. Twitter is Family Matters 94. And Instagram is Joy Family Matters as well. Again, thanks, Joe.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. And now it's time of the night. Oh, no.
No, this is a good one tonight.
Well, firstly, the Crows are in front in the final.
They are at half-time. That'll get you excited. 55 to 11, so there go, you go, Crows.
Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock?
Correct. Right on this very station.
Okay, go on.
No, I've got a topical woof girl tonight.
Ooh.
Mm. It is woof, grab your survey when it comes in the mail and vote yes and then post it back.
Yes, yes, yes. Love that. Woods are up next. This is Family Matters. Good night.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.